Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction, starring Score Baseball insider Bruce Levine, and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Good Saturday morning, Chicago. Welcome inside the clubhouse on 670 The Score and your free Odyssey app, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. I am David Haw, along with Bruce Levine, who's out in Arizona, talking baseball as we do every Saturday morning, ready to subsidize your weekend White Sox style with the latest from spring training as we wait for the Cubs to complete the roster. Good morning, Bruce. How's it going?
It feels like baseball here, David. Obviously been here since the beginning of spring training with the White Sox and Cubs, sitting at Sloan Park, watching them getting the field ready here from the 670 The Score and Cubs radio booth here. So I'm raring to go. I know there's a lot of stuff out there that we want to get to. David, where do you want to start today?
Well, let's fill out the lineup card so people know what's ahead first. We're going to have a great show full of good guests. Mike Soroka, the Sox new pitcher, got obtained from the Braves in the offseason. He'll join us at the bottom of the hour, 9:30-ish. And hopefully Nico Horner, the Cubs second baseman, Gold Glove winner, will join us at 10 o'clock. We'll have some chin music in there along the way. We have a lot to get to from both sides of camp in Arizona. Bruce, Glendale with the White Sox, Mesa with the Cubs. There's a big news here locally with the White Sox latest in their South Loop project. But I want to begin just with you setting the scene. You've been there all week on both sides. You have heard from Pedro, why not us, Grifol, and Craig, I'm not the old guy, Council. I wonder what your biggest takeaway was from week one, pitchers and catchers reporting on Wednesday. What do you think, Bruce? What's going on?
Well, just the incompleteness of the feel for everybody here. Normally, there's that feeling of, you know, go, go, go. And really, it still feels incomplete on both the south and the north side. When you go to Glendale and you talk to people and the subject matter begins with Dylan Cease. And when you come here, the subject matter begins and ends with Cody Bellinger. So there's that tentativeness. There's great, you know, excitement about starting. Everybody feels really good about where they're at. But the incompleteness of both teams and the uneasiness of whether Cease is going to be around much longer, and we'll get into more of that depth with Baltimore losing two pitchers this week in their announcement. And then and Bellinger is still, you know, out there and no other teams really being attached to him. That causes some angst to Cub fans, Cub front office, people in Chicago, and maybe even more so with Scott Boras and Cody Bellinger himself.
I think that's a good way to put it. There's a lot of angst. There is some uneasiness in both camps because you look at the Cubs. No news is bad news. There's nothing to report on Cody Bellinger. We haven't heard from him. We haven't heard from Boras. It seems like it's a stare down between Jed Hoyer and Scott Boras, and all you can do is hope if you're a Cub fan. With the White Sox, meanwhile, you've got the Dylan Cease situation that does kind of hover over everything else at Sox camp because of what you reported on 670score.com and what you just alluded to. The Orioles found out this week that two of their starting pitchers won't be ready for opening day. That changes the context of their needs, because that is a World Series contender we're talking about in Baltimore. And certainly as active as they were in making a move with the Brewers and supplementing their staff, they could always use an ace. You never have enough pitching, and you wonder, because of how rich their farm system is, if that will shift their focus and say, okay, let's talk Chris Getz. Maybe we can make a deal by opening day.
You know, I think when you look at the Baltimore Orioles, David, you have to look at the White Sox, and that has to be an example for other teams out there. When you think you have a window of 2 or 3 years and you don't really push through it and you just sit back, I think it's a mistake. Look what happened to the White Sox in that supposed 4-year window that they were going to have of competing every year with the players they put together. Everybody thought they had the right young players, they brought in the right veterans, they had everything going, and then it just blew up in their face. So maybe the Orioles, other teams look at that and go, we better pounce when we have a chance to win the World Series. And, you know, David, they're going to have new ownership coming in there right away now in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they'd like nothing more than to start filling up Camden Yards again the way it was back in the mid-90s when they first built that ballpark. So there's a lot of good reasons why there's a match between the Chicago White Sox and Baltimore.
And while the Orioles still are legit World Series contenders, I'm not sure what the Cubs are in Mesa, Bruce, as they report, full squad reports this week, pitchers, catchers already there, as you know. I'm waiting. I think we're all waiting for them to maybe pick a lane. I thought they declared. I thought hiring Craig Counsell pretty much announced them as contenders in 2024. I don't know that the roster reflects that. I don't know if the offseason activity reflects that. But I do think that there's still time. And this is what I want you to react to. We heard from Jed Hoyer earlier this week when he met with the media. And, you know, he was under the weather. He sounded maybe a little fed up as well. But I do think he was trying to remind people there still is time. The roster still is incomplete, and they still can fill in some of the gaps that remain.
I don't think we're ever going to feel, you know, complete. You know, in my 20-plus years, I've never gotten to a place where it felt like you just kind of turned it over to the manager and like, you know, went and played golf. And that's not how this thing works. You know, I think that we're always going to be looking for upgrades, both now and all season long, and that's our job. I'm excited about where we are as an organization. I think that we have a lot of good young veteran players on the team. I think we have a ton of young talent, and I'm probably more excited for this spring than most springs, just because we have so much young talent in camp, and that's what's really, you know, fun in this job, is watching those guys play, watching those guys develop. You know, young players, young talent, that's where the game is right now. That's the currency of baseball, and you know, that's the part of the organization that gives me the most confidence, and I'm excited to watch those guys every day this spring.
What'd you think, Bruce?
Well, he went on to talk a little bit about the fact that they're in contact with agents and free agents of those agents every day, and that they're still not sitting back on their hunches and maybe just feeling like, just like the fans and the media do, that, you know, that next move is still out there. So as much as he talks about the minor leagues, and look, for the first time in maybe 20 years, people are looking at the Cubs organization and going, yeah, that's a good-looking group of players. They're players that we want in our organization. It took forever for that to happen this time around for the Cubs. But there's that discomfort you feel when you say, okay, opening day lineup is Pete Crow Armstrong in center field and Michael Bush at first base.
Okay? Yeah, that sounds like the Iowa Cubs opening day lineup.
Yeah, but again, it's predicated on the fact, David, I think that people don't trust guys that come through the Cub organization. Okay, there's that tendency. And maybe it's all 30 teams, but here you get the feeling like, oh, no, you know, here we go. Is this Corey Patterson? Is this Gary Scott? You know, is this Matt Mervis from last year? Are we really seeing legitimate guys that can go in there and help us contend in 2024?
I just don't see how, when Pecota releases its projections this week, and isn't that always a lot of fun? But when you look at the Cubs, how in the world do you know? What are you projecting based on what? Bellinger? with Bellinger, without Bellinger. They're two very different teams. One guy can make that big of a difference in extending the lineup, in filling in a defensive void, all the things that come with Cody Bellinger in your lineup. They're two different directions, Bruce, and I think that's why it feels like you're in a state of limbo. You're in a state of flux if you're a Cub fan, because you are excited. Pitchers and catchers report, the four best words in baseball. And then you're like, yeah, what does that mean? What are we looking forward to? Are we looking forward to this? Because you just said it. If there are two rookies in the opening day lineup, I don't know how excited I am about this season. I'd love the possibility, but I'd rather be more sure of what I'm going to watch.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting. The Cubs were, I think, in sixth in runs scored last year. But if you take away those double-digit games that they had, which were a lot of them, it was about four runs per game, actually. So the reality is was their offense as good as they think it is? And to your point, how good is it without Bellinger? Can Bush and Armstrong make up for? I mean, really, they got nothing out of first base when Bellinger was, unless Bellinger was there last year. That was a zero that they were getting there offensively, mostly defensively as well. But can Armstrong and Bush bring a different offensive dynamic to the team that that continues to have them in the 800 run area after the season is over with? That's the key. But the concentration from Hoyer and from Hawkins is mostly on pitching, okay? And I'm with them. I mean, you know, I believe that 75-80% of the game is, you know, about your starting pitching, your bullpen. They've solidified both. Some people will say maybe not really, because you're trading Stroman off for Imanaga, okay? Is that a wash? Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't get anything out of Stroman at the end of last year, so hopefully Imanaga is an upgrade. You know, offensively, you know, are you going to be better just because of the progression of the improvement of some of your players? We saw at the end of last year Suzuki being one of the best offensive players in the game the last 2 months. Will that continue on? There's a lot of question marks. Will Gomes have that kind of year? So I think the Cubs are down at least one offensive player. But in their minds, it's like, hey, it might be PCA's time. It might be Bush's time to help take over, add left-handed power, add speed, add defense. We'll see how it shakes out. Again, somehow, some way, I think Bellinger still ends up with the Chicago Cubs.
I think so, too. We'll wait and see if that happens. Continue to talk Cubs, Nico Horner, at 10 o'clock, Bruce. But we want to get to one of the biggest developments in the White Sox South Loop project that came Friday. I don't know if you want to call it a Friday news dump. Crane's Chicago Business was all over this, as it has continued to be. But it's the kind of story that I would dump on a Friday if I were the White Sox, just saying. Because the headline is, or the lead to this story is, Jerry Reinsdorf is preparing to ask Governor J.B. Pritzker and other state leaders for, wait for it, roughly $1 billion in public money to build his team a new home in the South Loop. Now, the story did not exactly include the exclamation points that I applied to the $1 billion in public money. But it could have, and nobody would have been shocked or surprised. Bruce, I understand why the White Sox want to build on the 78 patch of land in the South Loop. I have been in favor of all of those ideas and what that can do to revitalize a franchise that needs revitalization. But this is a non-starter in my book. I don't think I'm alone. I know I'm not alone. Goodness sakes, look at social media. $1 billion.
Well, it's not coming out of your pocket.
It doesn't matter. It's
sure
the absurdity of the ask, Bruce.
No. No.
Wait, let me finish.
I will.
Because
we have 2 hours.
It's going to be long ones. They're going to feel like three, Bruce, by the time I'm done with you. All right, no, seriously, let's get back to this. This is what bothers me, Bruce. It isn't my money. It isn't what it's a public money, though. And while neither, you know, the ISFA will get involved, and there's tax increment financing district that is, there's a lot of complicated complex levers you can pull to make this happen. Absolutely. But in good conscience, I can't sit here and say, yay, team, build the park. I love the view. They're going to be able to win a pennant now. Because all of this stuff, the way they're maneuvering, seems to me at first glance like it's money that is coming out of the Chicago budget that could be spent on other things. And you have a billionaire asking for $1 billion in subsidies. I don't understand.
Are you talking about the Bears or the White Sox?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Both. Don't worry, Bruce. That's a different show. Monday morning, 5:30. You want to see what I hear? What I have to think about the Bears and Kevin Warren asking
it's
for the same thing?
It's not going
to
be different.
I'll tell
because the battle, David, is actually between the Bears and the White Sox at this point.
I know. I described it early in the week. It's a virtual sprint to the finish line. Jerry Reinsdorf racing Kevin Warren, lane one, lane two. Who can get to that money first? Because this calendar expires on December 31st. That little clause that allows you to get all these bonds that they're going to get to pay for these projects, it's a race to the finish line. And I just don't like the race. I don't like any of it.
Well, what city in the United States, what big city in the United States needs a promotional and economic shot in the arm more than Chicago does, David? What city needs its image to change? What city needs to be able to promote something new and exciting more than Chicago and this project, this 78 project that could be, that has everybody excited except about spending the money to do it? So when people talk about spending money to do it, sure, there's funds that could go to the city of Chicago. It could be used in other ways, but this money isn't going back to the taxpayer, okay? Whatever money that's going to be out there, it's going to go to some other area for improvements in Chicago. That's for sure.
I think you're making good points, Bruce. I understand where you are coming from. What is Jerry Reinsdorf's stake in this? What is he contributing to this? Those are things we still don't know. I would have led with that. I don't know that I would have led with floating the idea that you're asking for $1 billion in public subsidies because you're trying to improve the state of the city. That's lame.
There's no tax increases at this point for any of this, David. This is like 2% money that's basically dormant right now. That's a tax on hotels, okay? A lot of that is, I would say 95, 97% is coming from out of town.
You're right. You're right.
And,
I understand.
And what can increase that 2% more and give them more money coming into the coffers than a designated new area in Chicago for people to say, you know what? Why don't we, instead of going to Las Vegas this year, why don't we have our convention in Chicago?
What's coming out of Reinsdorf's pocket? That's what I want to know. That's what I don't know.
Well,
that's what I need to know.
Why would you care?
Because I care, Bruce, because every dollar that you're taking in a public subsidy is a dollar that could be committed to another priority. That's a greater priority than a baseball stadium.
Why did you say the same thing about the Bears?
Because I am saying the same thing about the Bears. The Bears aren't entitled to that money either. Shame on them for asking.
Okay.
It's a $6 billion corporation. They can afford to pony up for a building. They don't need to ask somebody to reach into their pockets or use money they're already spending on taxes for their own well-being and so they can become even better billionaires. No, thank you. Neither guy's entitled to it. No, thank you. They can stumble at the start of that race to the finish line. I don't care what Kevin Warren and Jerry Reinsdorf, how important and big and powerful they are. They're not entitled to that kind of public money, not that big of an ask.
We have two of the more useless stadiums in the United States, with Soldier Field and with the 35th Street Guaranteed Rate. Okay, they're useless. They're nice. Look, Guaranteed Rate's a nice ballpark. Okay, it's in the wrong place. People don't want to travel there at night. Okay, they don't want to be able to figure out how to come home on public transportation at night from there. That limits them so much. We've been through these conversations a million times. The reality is it takes money to make money. It takes beautiful areas and new, exciting places in cities to draw people to that city so that it becomes the city that it once was and should be again. That's Chicago, Illinois.
We will get back to this. We will talk about this some more. Bruce, you are better for me on a Saturday morning than caffeine and a double espresso. Thank you very much. I love the conversation. We're going to continue it. But Mike Soroka is available. We're going to talk to the White Sox new pitcher next on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, when it first happened, obviously there's lots of emotions leaving a team that drafted you, and you know, I've been with them for 8 or 9 seasons, and but moving to an organization that really wanted me out there was really important to me. So immediately kind of talked to the pitching staff and what they had for me, and they're excited to get me out there, and I'm even more excited to be out there.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Thank you for joining us on this chilly Saturday morning in Chicago. David Haugh, Bruce Levine until 11 o'clock Inside the Clubhouse at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Now joining us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline is new White Sox right-hander Michael Soroka, CircaLasVegas.com. Good morning, Michael. Thank you for joining us. How are you this morning?
Morning, guys. I'm great. How are you?
Doing well. We really appreciate your time. We know it's busy this week, as pitchers and catchers have reported. What do you think of Glendale, and how's the first week gone for you?
I love it. I love Arizona. I grew up coming down here for baseball tournaments since I was 10 or 11 years old. This was kind of our place from Calgary, Alberta, to come down to. It was a little easier than getting to the East Coast, and obviously been in Florida every year professionally, and now getting the chance to be over here, I like it a lot. It's a good place to get some work in, and you know, it's been beautiful so far, so hopefully that continues.
Michael, we talked a little bit about, you know, your trek when I was with you at the Boys and Girls Club in Chicago, and then in Glendale the other day when media was first let in to talk to you guys. And it seems like it's a whole new world for you. Can you describe the feeling of being in a new organization after being, you know, with the Atlanta Braves, and the opportunities that you feel right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I mentioned before, this was my first move. So this is my first change of scenery, first time learning a whole bunch of new faces and names. And it's exciting. You know, I think there's a lot of people that are in the same sort of shoes that I am this spring. You know, a lot of people, like I've mentioned before, that are working to have a career year. You know, a lot of guys that I think have a lot to give, and I'm one of them. But it's been, you know, a little bit of turnover from what I understand here as well. I think there's a lot of new faces on the staff side. And one of those that they've brought in is Brian Bannister, and we've already got to work in a bullpen yesterday, and saw some good things and tried some new things. So a lot of it I'm very excited about. They kind of had a plan for me right when I got over. You know, it wasn't just kind of a, we're going to take you out there and just let you go play. It was, you know, we see a path, and you know, I've been on a certain path of my own for the last year and a half or so, and making sure that I get the most out of myself, and you know, learning a lot of things. There's just so much in this game, so many people that you can be with and get to help, you know, get you to where you want to be. And I think Chicago's got all those people for me.
So, Michael, you've been through a lot And 2019, you burst onto the scene 13-4, your runner-up in the Rookie of the Year voting to Pete Alonso. And things take a turn when injuries hit. And they were unfortunate, and you persevered. And here you are in Chicago. Just curious, how difficult was it to endure those injuries one after another, because you dealt with several? And how healthy are you as you begin the White Sox phase of your career?
Yeah, I think most importantly, I'm very healthy now. You know, it takes time when you are coming back. You know, a lot of people say it, you know, it even takes a full year after you've been out for that kind of time. And that was my year yet last year to kind of be able to just go out there and pick up a ball and compete again and break through some mental scar tissue, if you will. So this year, I'm in a completely different place than I was last spring. And that's very exciting to me. It's feeling more like myself, you know, more like the competitor that I was right when I got hurt for the first time. You know, it's a difficult thing, and I think the hardest thing for me was, you know, not taking resentment to the field every single day as to why, you know, things didn't go like they were supposed to. You know, I've said before, when you break into the league at 20 and you have immediate success, you kind of get used to the thought about, you know, that just being reality. And you know, it's not like I could have done too much to prevent what had happened. But, you know, you kind of wonder why you, right? And getting out of that headspace to understand that a lot of people go through issues, whether it's Tommy John's, whether shoulder surgeries, back. There's a lot of guys that go through their fair share of issues. You know, and somebody that was good for me was Charlie Morton. He's been through his fair share of issues, and he got to work through those when in his Pittsburgh days. And it got to the point where he'd kind of figured out how to throw and not get hurt, and then performance kind of came right behind it. So I've kind of been on that path the last year and a half to make sure I can be out there and compete, and I think we're getting there, and I'm excited to go do just that.
You know, Michael, you alluded to Brian Bannister, the director of pitching for the Chicago White Sox organization, and I saw something I have never seen in spring training, and that is Ethan Katz is a pitching coach. He's certainly well thought of, and he's in charge of the pitchers, but it was Bannister that was working with each pitcher and talking to them at length in between the times they threw, talking about grips, talking about different ideas. How different is that for you? And is it something that you were surprised at initially coming into White Sox camp to see Brian being so proactive in each pitcher's development this spring?
Yeah, I don't think I was surprised to see him being proactive, but you know, it is a little bit different. I think typically you come into camp, you're just trying to get those pitches under you, but a lot of times, I mean, 30, 40 pitches for me in a bullpen can go by pretty quickly unless we're taking our time with you know, what exactly we're trying to accomplish. And I think that's where his talent and his knowledge lies the best is, you know, with pitch design and pitch shaping and making sure that we're getting the absolute most out of the way that we individually release a baseball. You know, I get two bullpens before my two lives, and if we're going to try anything, this is the time. You know, this is the time to figure out if you know, these things that he's done his research on, he's found each and every one of us and, you know, has areas that he thinks we can improve with. You know, could be just a simple grip change, could be the way something's rolling off a finger. You know, and that's exciting because sometimes it is just one little adjustment away from having a pitch be just useful to elite. And ultimately I'm very receptive to that, and it make my job a lot easier if the pitch profiles as elite, that's for sure. I'll be able to, you know, have a lot more margin for error with certain things. So yeah, this is the time to do that kind of stuff, and we're very, very, very happy to have him.
Joined for a couple more minutes by White Sox right-hander Michael Soroka here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. So, Michael, you come from an organization that reported every February expecting to compete for a World Series. You join a franchise that is struggling right now. Don't need to tell you that. Coming off a 101-loss season. I think, number one, what does that do to your psyche in the offseason as you prepare for such a dramatic change? And secondly, is there anything that your experience in Atlanta can help you make and your surroundings in the clubhouse in Chicago better or more conducive to winning?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, the experience that I draw on the most is honestly the first couple of years I got called up. You know, inside that clubhouse, obviously, we knew the team that we had, but the year I got called up, I'm not sure how many games the Braves lost in 2017, but I know it was, I think it was more than they won, that was for sure. And that year we were not supposed to contend, and then that team won the pennant in 18, and it wasn't too much different going into 19 as well. And, you know, there are times when that team, I mean, even in 2021 when they won the whole thing, I believe we were 10.5 games back in May. And, you know, the Mets were the heavy favorite. You know, they'd made some moves in the offseason, had kind of stacked a roster. And, you know, there was a lot of times where we were not picked and we had to kind of prove that wrong. And I think that's the exact same thing that this ball club's in. I've said it before, I think there's a lot of people that have had some really good years in this game. And know it's still in there, and it's a matter of piecing it all together. And I think that the attitude that's been taken in camp so far is, you know, has been gritty. And I love playing on teams like that, teams that understand that they've got work to do, you know, and are just focused on going out there and playing the game hard the right way. I think things tend to fall in place. So. I think this team's got something to prove, and you know, we're looking forward to doing that.
During your professional career, moving up to the major leagues from the minor leagues, how essential have you found catchers to be, and how good is it going to be to have somebody like Maldonado and Stassi to throw to this year? Where does that count for Mike Soroka?
Yeah, I don't think you can really put a price on that, to be honest with you. I think it's one of the intangibles that I don't think that there are necessarily analytics for. And catcher experience is so important to a pitching staff. I got called up, and the first guys I was throwing to were Kurt Suzuki, Tyler Flowers, and Brian McCann. Three guys with a ton of knowledge and a ton of experience, and I learned a ton from them just by being out there. They're not afraid to stray from the scouting report when they see something different, and they're very, very good at the competition aspect of baseball. And we can do our homework all we want on analytics and percentages of pitches and which quadrants to throw to, but sometimes the game changes, and having a veteran catcher like Martin and like Max are going to be able to pick up on that pretty quickly and switch a game plan. So I think that's invaluable. And, you know, obviously with this team putting an emphasis on defense, obviously it's going to be my job to keep the ball over the plate and let them work.
Michael, before we let you go, got to ask you this. You grew up in Calgary. How hard was it for you to stay off the ice and go to hockey? And do you realize you're coming to a city where Connor Bedard rules?
I do. I am aware. Yeah, I'm very aware. obviously, I spent a good portion of my upbringing thinking I was going to be in the NHL. You know, the Flames made it to the Stanley Cup Finals when I was 5 or 6 years old, and that kind of took off. And this was actually what resulted in me wanting to be a goaltender, and ultimately why I ended up hanging the skates up. You know, it was. A time where, yeah, obviously hockey ruled, but what really kind of shifted me over was I didn't want to give up my summers playing baseball to do power skating and, you know, hockey skill camps because I was enjoying baseball too much. It got to the point where I had to pick one or the other, and if I wanted to be what I knew I could be in either sport, you know, 14, 15 kind of asks you to take a pick, so... I picked baseball, and I think I picked right. I enjoy it every single day. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. It doesn't matter if I'm throwing, taking ground balls, hitting in the cages. I don't get to do that as much anymore, but nevertheless, it's a game I love, and I'm very, very lucky to do it every day.
Hockey's loss is the White Sox's gain. Michael, it's been a pleasure talking with you this morning, getting to know you. Look forward to talking again.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Michael Soroka, new White Sox right-hander, joining us here on Inside the Clubhouse. Bruce, really, really good guy, seems like, and a good addition to that clubhouse. If he can stay healthy, he can make an impact. He's got to stay healthy.
Well, I hope he makes an impact for a number of reasons, including the selfish one, that he's so articulate and interesting to talk to, that I see the leadership qualities in that clubhouse for him, as well as a sports radio future for him as well. So,
where does he slide in? Number two? Is he the second most reliable starter if he can stay healthy behind Dylan Cease?
It's really hard to say. I mean, you know, take your pick. Is it Eric Fetty coming over from 20 wins in Korea? Is it Michael Kopech having to reach the pinnacle at some point of his career? Is this, you know, knowing that this might be the last chance for him to be a starting pitcher? I don't know. I would say just from his pedigree, David, if he's healthy, he is. He's that guy.
All right, we want to hear from you. We were talking earlier before Michael Soroka about the White Sox's plan in the South Loop at the 78 with the Cranes report about the $1 billion in subsidies that Jerry Reinsdorf plans to ask J.B. Pritzker about moving forward. We can talk about that if you want. 312-644-6767. Maybe you have a reaction to the bright young right-hander for the White Sox, Michael Soroka, who you just heard. Or maybe you just want to yell at Bruce. Whatever you want to do, we're here for you. Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Welcome back. David Haw, Bruce Levine, till 11 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, 312-644-6767. Get your phone calls in a second. Bruce, what was your overall reaction to Michael Soroka and just how he acknowledged the fact that he's in a clubhouse full of guys who have a lot to prove? And I think he fits right into that category.
Well, you know, one of the things I really like about Soroka is coming over from a world championship team and a individual and a organization that expects to win, okay? Not hopes to win, but expects to win. I don't think that can be necessarily taught, David. It has to be experienced, and he brings that with him. With any health whatsoever, you know, this guy's going to be hopefully a great find for the Chicago White Sox. Injuries have certainly kept him down, but you pointed out in the interview, 13 wins back in 19, one of the top rookies in the game, and everything says star pitcher about this guy other than the fact that injuries have kept him down. Let's see if the White Sox get some luck this time around, and Soroka goes right into that rotation.
Score Listener Line is powered by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Let's start the conversation with Mike, our friend in Glencoe. Good morning, Mike. Welcome inside the clubhouse.
Good morning, fellas. What a great interview. And there's no question that a guy like Soroka could be a great addition to the clubhouse. And you've got to go out and take flyers on guys like him, like Fetty, like Claxton, or whatever the heck the guy's name is, and people like that, maybe not so much Kopech. But where the problem is, and I think it really hasn't been discussed enough, is Jerry Reinsdorf is giving us a rotation of entirely all those guys. And if Cease is traded, you're looking at a starting pitching staff that includes total bust-outs, failures, a guy like Soroka is trying to make it back. I think, Bruce, he's been out for 3 years. You've got a guy in Claxton who's been DFA'd twice in a season. Fetty's had no success in the majors. Again, I think it's fine to pick up guys like that because the chance that you'll hit big, you know, look at Esteban Loaiza. Whoever thought that guy would be any good? But to make a rotation of those people, I think, you know, I guess if I'm Chris Getz, I'm finding Wilbur Wood's phone number in Boston and seeing if he's still got a few miles left in his arm, because you can't go into a season this way. What do you guys think?
Thanks, Mike. Nice dated reference to Wilbur Wood. What do you think, Bruce?
Look, David, I can make White Sox fans feel better by saying that Willie Mays Hayes has also been signed by the Chicago White Sox, so everything is going to be fine. I get it. Look, it is about guys that you hope can find their way back to the major leagues and the quality that they were. You hope that they are. You hope that the White Sox have obtained some young players that can be very good. And you hope even more, my wish for them, as much as I love Dylan Cease, is that you get three really good players for Dylan Cease at some point this year. Now, I've been on record from early, maybe mid-December, saying I didn't think there was a chance that that Cease ended up with the team opening day. I'm probably going to look stupid at this point. Not the first time, as you know, David. But the fact remains.
No comment.
They're not going to give him away.
That later.
They're not going to give him away. And the fact, this was all predicated. My theory on why he would be traded early is that I thought that Snell and Montgomery would be gone by now. They thought their plan was to wait for Snell and Montgomery to be removed, top pitchers in the free agent market, and then they would get optimum amount for Cease. That hasn't transpired as of yet. The market is 6 weeks behind. Mm-hmm. And if it continues that way, maybe Cease is the opening day starter for the Chicago White Sox. There just is an awful lot of angst when you have a guy that you're planning on trading at some point, and there's no doubt about that.
I get it.
And the risk of injury.
Let me try to connect the dots here between two of these stories we're talking about this morning, because there's a lot of Cease fatigue about the trade speculation, and I get it, and I promote it, and we talk about it regularly on the Mullin Haw Show every morning, 5:30 to 10. Bruce, I think the Dylan Cease is on the market. Why? He's 28-year-old ace. People object to that term ace, but he is their ace. He was runner-up in the Cy Young Award at 27. He's a ace-caliber pitcher. He's the kind of guy the White Sox, frankly, in Chicago, should be locking up long-term. There should be maybe nine figures in his contract. Jerry Reinsdorf never has done that.
Can't.
Never
can't
has.
Anyway.
What's
can't.
That?
Cannot, no matter who the owner is.
Why? Why?
The guy's name is Scott Boras.
Okay, wait a second. I'm just saying, theoretically, you're never going to sign Dylan Cease to a contract because you're not willing to go that high in your bidding. And the frustration that some people feel, to tie our two stories together in this quest for public subsidies that's going to be $1.2 billion in the ask, the frustration, part of it lies, Bruce, in the fact that this is not an owner that has spent and reached deep into his own pockets to put a winner on the field. A franchise that has never written a $100 million contract has some gall to ask for $1.2 billion in subsidies from public subsidies.
You mean they're the one team that hasn't made a $100 million mistake? Is
no,
that what you're
no,
saying?
No.
I thought that's what I heard
no,
you say.
No, that's not what you heard. You heard
What you're saying is Jerry Reinsdorf is too cheap to be the owner of a major league franchise in 2020.
You said it.
Okay. No, I understand. I'm not arguing with you. I'm clarifying what you're saying.
That's the headline of this show. Bruce bails on Reinsdorf.
Well, whatever you want it to be. But the reality is that spending $100 million is not a panacea for having a championship caliber team. Okay, that is not the end all.
Devil's advocate, Bruce. The Cubs are waiting on Cody Bellinger. Why? It makes them a championship caliber team. Why? Because he's worth over $100 million that you're ready to sign him. Jerry Reinsdorf makes Tom Ricketts look like Steve
Cohen. Why isn't he signed yet?
Because the ask is too high. But it's north of $100 million. The Cubs are realistically going to pay more than that. They have paid more than that. They've done it several times. You know what happened? They won a World Series. They won a World Series.
Did the White Sox offer $300 million from Machado and Harper?
They didn't offer enough.
I didn't ask you that. I asked whether they offered $300 million.
They did and blinked. They blinked.
Okay.
The Phillies made him blink on Harper. The Padres made him blink on Machado. There were reasons maybe extenuating circumstances.
Here's maybe a better question. And I'm really expecting a good answer, David, okay? So if they spent that money on Harper and they spent that money on Machado, would they have won a World Series?
Impossible to say, but you know what they would have won? Respect. That's what's lacking
from you,
right now.
Right?
Not yeah, for me. I'm not on an island here, Bruce. I'm not an anti-Jerry Reinsdorf quest and a crusade that is a solo voice in the wilderness in Chicago. This is a consensus to most people who are reasonable looking at what he's not done. What he's not done is been willing to invest in a championship roster. And now he wants to ask the city for $1.2 billion, the state of Illinois, in subsidies to build a ballpark. Not happening.
I don't see how one has anything to do with
the other. I see a connection.
I don't see any connection whatsoever. One has to do with the Chicago White Sox franchise continuing to flourish in the city of Chicago and becoming one of the jewels of the city that it's really not at this particular point in time. Having a jewel of a ballpark, having new ownership, okay, which will be done in the next 7 to 10 years, okay, and having that to sell to people outside of the city, having city pride in a new ballpark in a new area that has rejuvenated the downtown area of Chicago.
And I see an arrogant billionaire having the audacity to ask the public for money that he's not willing to spend on his own baseball team and to win a championship. That takes some gall.
He's not asking you, if you live in the city of Chicago like I do, David, he's not asking me to pay any more money. He's saying there's taxes and there's bonds to be able to build this so that we
shell
get
game.
The new ballpark, that he gets what, okay, call it what you want. The fact is, does Chicago win with a new ballpark in a new area that rejuvenates the downtown area, rejuvenates people to want to come back to Chicago and make us the city that we were 10 years ago?
I do think it's a lot to ask. I think it's a bridge too far. And I just want to know what the White Sox have in it. What is their investment? Or is this all going to be financed through a loophole by the ISFA that Jerry Reinsdorf has taken advantage of for the last 30
years? I care about two things. I care about the Chicago White Sox fans' experience and the city of Chicago. I'll leave it at that.
And we will leave it at that for now, too, because we're going to shift gears and talk to Nico Horner from the Cubs. He joins us on Inside the Clubhouse when we come back. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Welcome back. David Haw, Bruce Levine till 11 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, 312-644-6767. Get your phone calls in a second. Bruce, what was your overall reaction to Michael Soroka and just how he acknowledged the fact that he's in a clubhouse full of guys who have a lot to prove, and I think he fits right into that category.
Well, you know, one of the things I really like about Soroka is coming over from a world championship team, and and a individual and a organization that expects to win, okay? Not hopes to win, but expects to win. I don't think that can be necessarily taught, David. It has to be experienced, and he brings that with him. With any health whatsoever, you know, this guy's going to be hopefully a great find for the Chicago White Sox. Injuries have certainly kept him down, but you pointed out in the interview, 13 wins back in 19, one of the top rookies in the game, and everything says star pitcher about this guy other than the fact that injuries have kept him down. Let's see if the White Sox get some luck this time around, and Soroka goes right into that rotation.
Score Listener Line is powered by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Let's start the conversation with Mike, our friend in Glencoe. Good morning, Mike. Welcome inside the clubhouse.
Good morning, fellas. What a great interview. And there's no question that a guy like Soroka could be a great addition to the clubhouse. And you've got to go out and pick up, take flyers on guys like him, like Fetty, like Claxton, or whatever the heck the guy's name is, and people like that, maybe not so much Kopech. But where the problem is, and I think it really hasn't been discussed enough, is Jerry Reinsdorf is giving us a rotation of entirely all those guys. And if Cease is traded, you're looking at a starting pitching staff that includes total bust outs, failures, a guy like Soroka is trying to make it back. I think, Bruce, he's been out for 3 years. You've got a guy in Claxton who's been DFA'd twice in a season. Fetty's had no success in the majors. Again, I think it's fine to pick up guys like that because the chance that you'll hit big, you know, look at Esteban Loaiza. Whoever thought that guy would be any good? But to make a rotation of those people, I think, I guess if I'm Chris Getz, I'm finding Wilbur Wood's phone number in Boston and seeing if he's still got a few miles left in his arm, because you can't go into a season this way. What do you guys think?
Thanks, Mike. Nice dated reference to Wilbur Wood. What do you think, Bruce?
Look, David, I can make White Sox fans feel better by saying that Willie Mays Hayes has also been signed by the Chicago White Sox, so everything is going to be fine. I get it. Look, it is about guys that you hope can find their way back to the major leagues and the quality that they were. You hope that they are. You hope that the White Sox have obtained some young players that can be very good. And you hope even more, my wish for them, as much as I love Dylan Cease, is that you get three really good players for Dylan Cease at some point this year. Now, I've been on record from early, maybe mid-December, saying I didn't think there was a chance that Cease ended up with the team opening day. I'm probably going to look stupid at this point. Not the first time, as you know, David. But the fact remains,
no comment.
They're not going to give him away.
That later.
They're not going to give him away. And the fact, this was all predicated. My theory on why he would be traded early is that I thought that Snell and Montgomery would be gone by now. They thought their plan was to wait for Snell and Montgomery to be removed, top pitchers in the free agent market, and then they would get optimum amount for Cease. That hasn't transpired as of yet. The market is 6 weeks behind, and if it continues that way, maybe Cease is the opening day starter for the Chicago White Sox. There just is an awful lot of angst when you have a guy that you're planning on trading at some point, and there's no doubt about that.
I get it.
And the risk of injury.
Let me try to connect the dots here between two of these stories we're talking about this morning, because there's a lot of Cease fatigue about the trade speculation, and I get it, and I promote it, and we talk about it regularly on the Mullinghaw Show every morning, 5:30 to 10. Bruce, I think the Dylan Cease is on the market. Why? He's 28-year-old ace. People object to that term ace, but he is their ace. He was runner-up in the Cy Young Award at 27. He's a ace-caliber pitcher. He's the kind of guy the White Sox, frankly, in Chicago, should be locking up long-term. There should be maybe nine figures in his contract. Jerry Reinsdorf never has done that.
Can't.
Never
can't
has.
Anyway.
What's
can't.
That?
Cannot, no matter who the owner is.
Why?
guy's name is Scott Boras.
Okay, wait a second. I'm just saying, theoretically, you're never going to sign Dylan Cease to a contract because you're not willing to go that high in your bidding. And the frustration that some people feel to tie our two stories together in this quest for public subsidies that's going to be $1.2 billion in the ask, the frustration, part of it lies, Bruce, in the fact that this is not an owner that has spent and reached deep into his own pockets to put a winner on the field. A franchise that has never written a $100 million contract has some gall to ask for $1.2 billion in subsidies from public subsidies.
You mean they're the one team that hasn't made a $100 million mistake?
Is No.
I thought that's what I heard.
No,
you say.
That's not what you heard. You heard
what you're saying is Jerry Reinsdorf is too cheap to be the owner of a major league franchise in 2020.
You said it.
Okay. No. I understand.
I agree with that.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm clarifying what you're saying.
That's the headline of this show. Bruce bails on Reinsdorf.
Whatever you want it to be. But the reality is that spending $100 million is not the panacea for having a championship caliber team. Okay, that is not the end all.
Devil's advocate, Bruce. The Cubs are waiting on Cody Bellinger. Why? It makes them a championship caliber team. Why? Because he's worth over $100 million that you're ready to sign him. Jerry Reinsdorf makes Tom Ricketts look like Steve Cohen.
Why isn't he signed yet?
Because the ask is too high. But it's north of $100 million. The Cubs are realistically going to pay more than that. They have paid more than that. They've done it several times. You know what happened? They won a World Series.
Did the White Sox offer $300 million from Machado and Harper?
They didn't offer enough.
I didn't ask you that. I asked whether they offered $300 million.
They did and blinked. They blinked.
Okay.
The Phillies made him blink on Harper. The Padres made him blink on Machado. There were reasons, maybe extenuating circumstances.
Here's maybe a better question. And I'm really expecting a good answer, David. Okay? So if they spent that money on Harper and they spent that money on Machado, would they have won a World Series?
Impossible to say, but you know what they would have won? Respect. That's what's lacking
from you,
right now.
Right?
Not from me. I'm not on an island here, Bruce. I'm not on an anti-Jerry Reinsdorf quest and a crusade that is a solo voice in the wilderness in Chicago. This is a consensus to most people who are reasonable looking at what he's not done. What he's not done is been willing to invest in a championship roster. And now he wants to ask the city for $1.2 billion, the state of Illinois, in subsidies to build a ballpark. Not happening.
I don't see how one has anything to do with the other.
See,
I don't see any connection whatsoever. One has to do with the Chicago White Sox franchise continuing to flourish in the city of Chicago and becoming one of the jewels of the city that it's really not at this particular point in time. Having a jewel of a ballpark, having new ownership, okay, which will be done in the next 7 to 10 years, okay, and having that to sell to people outside of the city, having city pride in a new ballpark in a new area that has rejuvenated the downtown area of Chicago.
And I see an arrogant billionaire having the audacity to ask the public for money that he's not willing to spend on his own baseball team, and to win a championship. That takes some gall.
He's not asking you, if you live in the city of Chicago like I do, David, he's not asking me to pay any more money. He's saying there's taxes and there's bonds to be able to build this so that we get the new ballpark, that he gets what, okay, call it what you want. The fact is, does Chicago win with a new ballpark in a new area that rejuvenates the downtown area, rejuvenates people to want to come back to Chicago and make us the city that we were 10 years ago?
I do think it's a lot to ask. I think it's a bridge too far. And I just want to know what the White Sox have in it. What is their investment? Or is this all going to be financed through a loophole by the ISFA that Jerry Reinsdorf has taken advantage of for the last 30 years?
I care about two things. I care about the Chicago White Sox fans' experience and the city of Chicago. I'll leave it at that.
And we will leave it at that for now, too, because we're going to shift gears and talk to Nico Horner from the Cubs. He joins us on Inside the Clubhouse when we come back. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.